Be seated. Well, listen, church, I got some great news for you. You want to hear some good news? Okay, so you know this morning we woke up here and the sun was shining and I'm like, uh-oh. You know what today is, right? Groundhog Day. Exactly. Okay, sun was shining here, but where it's official, Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania, he didn't see a shadow. So we get an early spring. How about that for good news? I'm pretty excited about that, to be honest with you. I was like, oh no, man, the sun is shining. Come on. Okay, grab your Bibles. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. As Mel said earlier, we're going to talk about this amazing prayer of Paul to his church, for his church, for this this church that God has blessed and that he's been writing to. And last week, you know, we talked about this amazing plan of God that was enacted when he brought the Jews and the Gentiles together to form one body. And his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 is really to help them to grow up. He wants that church now, they've come from all these different backgrounds and all these differing places. Now he says, look, now here's the deal. Church, you gotta grow up. You gotta grow up. And I thought about that and I thought to myself, wait a minute. That's kind of our heartbeat here at Covenant, isn't it? To grow up. To become passionate, spiritually mature followers of Jesus. That's our heartbeat. It's right there in your bulletin. That's the second part of our mission here, is to grow up. And I thought, wow, is there a more appropriate prayer for Covenant as well as for the greater church? Not just for here and not just for the churches downtown or the churches in the country, but for all of the churches to continue to grow up and to become the people of God that can honor Him and bring glory to Him and exalt His name. Lift high the name of Jesus. So that when we do that, that He can do what He said He was going to do and draw people to Himself. And that's what this prayer is all about. So Paul offered this amazing prayer. And so he starts out there in verse 14. And he says, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, he's in his own mind, he's reviewing what he's just said in chapter 3 and the latter part of chapter 2. What God has done is he's brought these two diverse groups together to be the people of God. That's an amazing plan of God. Just the scope of that just blows his mind. So he thinks about that, and then he says, when I think about that, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Paul talks about bowing to his knees. Now that's a big deal for Paul, and especially in that culture of that day, in the Jewish culture and early Christian culture, because most times, and even happens today, when people pray in Jerusalem or in that culture, they stood to pray. You know, if you go to Jerusalem today and you stand at the Wailing Wall and you pray, most people you watch, they pray while standing up. So for Paul to say, I'm going to bow my knee, I'm going to get down and I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to pray for the church. This was a big deal because he was saying, look, I need to submit myself. I'm in subordination to all that God has in mind. I am under the submission of God as I boldly pray for the church. Paul finishes out chapter 3 by praying that there would be no return to this infighting and disagreements and factions and diverse opinions and thoughts. He says, look, man, God has done something absolutely incredible in your midst to bring together the Jew and the Gentile into the body of Christ. He's brought you into his church. So don't go back to that fighting business. Don't go back to those factions. Go and this is the bigger picture here. We are the body of Christ. And sometimes, truth is, we forget that. In the church, we think it's all about us. We think it's about what we like or what we don't like. And we think, oh, it ought to be catered to us. And Paul's like, whoa. No, this is not about you. This is about the body of Christ. This is about the church being the church with one intent and one purpose to bring glory and honor and praise to God. That's what the church is all about. And so that, he says, look, we are the church. We have come together from all over the place. And now we're the church. So let's be the church. Paul wants us to see the big picture. That this work of grace, this work of God's presence and power by His Holy Spirit, that God has done something amazing. So let's live into that big picture. Let's work together. Let's set ourselves aside to bring Him glory, to lift up Jesus' name, to be Jesus with skin on to people who live around us. So we're going to take a couple of minutes. We're going to kind of walk our way through these last few verses of chapter 3 and this prayer that Paul prays for his church. The first part of this prayer is there in verse 16. Take a look at that. Verse 16. I pray that from His glorious, whose glorious? God's glorious, unlimited resources. Okay, don't miss that. He's talking about God's glorious, unlimited resources. That He will give you mighty inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Listen, church, where does our strength come from? Is it because we have been exercising? We've gone to the Planet Fitness for the last, what is this? Today's what? February 2nd. So we've gone for 33 days now, right? We made a New Year's resolution. We're going to the gym every day. We're going to get strong, right? So we can fight off whatever comes our way. Sorry, that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul says, look, church, we need the inner strength that comes from God's presence, that comes from the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you're going to have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what Paul was praying for, was that we would receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be His witnesses, to be Jesus with skin on, to do what He calls us to do, to be the people that He calls us to be, that we as a church would submit ourselves to God's control, let Him be in control, that He would direct our thoughts and our actions. Paul wants the church to submit to His inner strength, to find that inner strength from Him. Listen, you and I, we're going to have to fight the good fight every day. The devil is not going to let up. Not on you, not on me, not on any of us. We're the church. And we're fighting a battle every day. And so Paul is saying, look, you are not strong enough in yourself. You're not strong enough personally. You've got to have the inner strength that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is praying that for the church. Paul is praying that for the people. The one thing that we cannot neglect to do is to pray for the presence and the power and the inner strength that we can gain from the Holy Spirit. So I want us to do that. I want us to just take a minute, to close our eyes, bow our heads, and say, God, I need Your inner strength. I need the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Do that right now. Ask God to give you that inner strength that comes from Him. Lord, hear our prayers. Then there's a second thing Paul prays for as he's praying for the church. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. I want that, right? But the second thing he says, verse 17, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. It says, may Christ be more and more at home in your hearts. And what that word, that phrase means is, you could say, we could insert, and a lot of translations do this, they insert the word dwell. May Christ dwell in your hearts. Reminds me of what was said about Jesus when he came the first time. The Word became flesh and did what? Dwelled among us. What's that mean? Oh yeah, he moved into the neighborhood. He moved into our lives. And so Paul is just kind of rehashing that prayer in his own mind. May Jesus move into our lives. May he move into all that we are. May we experience him in every part of our lives. That Jesus would be real to us. That there would be no discomfort when the things of life are happening around us. That we would know his presence because he is dwelling in our hearts. Listen, church, we're not looking for Jesus just to be a house guest. We want him to live there, inside of us, to be present with us 24/7. Paul uses two words to help us kind of understand it. He says, look, rooted and grounded. Now, I could have, where's Grant? Grant and Joyce are back there, and I could have them both come up here and tell us about what it looks like to raise a garden. They do really well at it. They help us with a community garden, and they're amazing people. And they could tell us all about gardening and what it means to grow a plant and what the importance of having that root go down and anchor that plant in the ground so it can bear fruit. But that's what Paul's saying. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be rooted in who Jesus is. We need to be grounded in his presence. I could have David come up here and tell us about what it means to have a great foundation. If you don't have a great foundation, you're not going to be able to build a very good house, are you, David? It's probably going to fall over at some point, some way. That's probably why Jesus talked about having that right foundation in Matthew chapter 7, when he said, look, you can build your house upon sand, or you can build your house upon the rock. What foundation do you want? And so Paul's like, wait, listen, church. Listen, if you're going to build your life, root it and ground it in the love of God, in his presence and in his power in our lives. So I want to ask you to take a minute to pray and ask God to help you be rooted and grounded in his love. Take a moment to do that. Right now. So he's asked, Lord, hear our prayers. And so now Paul's asked for the church to understand and know the power of the Holy Spirit, that inner strength. He's asked us to let Christ dwell in our hearts, to be rooted and grounded in his love. And now in verses 18 and the first part of verse 19, take a look at that. And I pray that you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's so great, you'll never fully understand it. Paul wants us Paul wants the church, which includes us, to get it. He really wants us to wrap our minds around this idea that Christ loves us in this all-encompassing way. He wants us to hold on to the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love. Even though we may never fully understand it. I said last week, and I want to say it again this morning, you know, it doesn't matter. Christ's love, the love of God, was for Jew and Gentile alike. For white, for black, for Asian, for Hispanic, for rich, for poor, for middle class, for students that get A's, and students who drop out. Those who are struggling with obvious sin, and those who are struggling with hidden sin. There is no variance in the love of God. There is no variance in how Christ loved us. Jesus went to the cross for every one of us, right where we are in life, right now. It's an amazing thing. And Paul wants us to understand that. That it's the love of Jesus that is above us and below us and on either side of us, in front of us and in back of us. Jesus' love is available for anyone. No matter what you've done or haven't done. Jesus opens wide His arms to embrace us. Anyone and everyone. No matter how broken we think we are. I want you to take a moment to thank God for His amazing love. For that love that is high and low and front and back and side to side. Take a moment and thank God for loving us that much. Lord, hear our prayers. So now we're coming down to this tail end of this, verse 19, the last part of verse 19. Paul prays for fullness. Look at this. Verse 19. I pray you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I pray you be filled with life and power. You know, sometimes, church, sometimes we live in this culture, I think, that we're into comparisons. And oftentimes, as Jesus followers, we like to compare ourselves with others. We like to say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Or, man, I do things a lot better than that one does. So I'm way better than them. Well, that's the wrong measuring stick. It's the wrong measuring stick. The question is not, are you better than somebody else? The question is, are you full of Jesus? Are you filled up with Jesus every day? You know, I was going to bring a cup of water out here and try to illustrate what it means to be full. Because to be full means to be right to the very tip top. I mean, not running over, but to be full. Right, with no room left. Right? And I thought to myself, if I did that and tried to walk up the steps, I'd spill some out. Or, you think about that being our lives. You know, we pray for fullness, right? We pray to be filled up with Jesus. And we're walking around with a full glass. And all of a sudden, life happens. We get a bad diagnosis. Oh, that shook the cup a little bit. Or we I don't know, we messed up somehow. There's some sin that's been lurking in the background and we sin. And oh, well, there that goes. There's something else pours out. And suddenly, instead of our lives being full of Jesus, we got a little gap. Did that ever happen to y'all? I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one that happens to. But what Paul is praying is that those gaps would be less and less and less and more full and more full and full to the brim with Jesus. It's a powerful prayer. That our lives will be full of Jesus every day. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Mike, how do you do that? Well, you spend time reading the Word of God. You spend time praying. You spend time hanging out with Christian friends. You spend time studying God's Word. That's why we have the small groups on Wednesday night. That's why we come to worship, so we can hang out with each other. That's why we have those daily breads out there, so we can take those home and spend, you know, 5 minutes in God's Word. Because that'll help keep us full, even when life rocks us to the very core. You know, one of the things I like to do is pray when I'm driving. I don't close my eyes. But I do. I like to pray when I'm driving. But you know what I've really noticed more recently than ever? Is I am easily distracted. I'm driving along. Thank you, God, for this day, man. What an awesome morning. Oh, what was that? Oh, you know, I thank you for our family. Thank you for my friends. Man, that guy's driving like an idiot. Thank you for my church. Thank you for all that you do. No wonder we have so many wrecks on this road. That guy's just crazy, man. He's cutting in and out of traffic up there. That ever happened to you? We're so easily distracted. And Paul is like, man, look, church, if there's ever a focused prayer, this one is it. And what would be different about life in the church if this would become our prayer every day? What would be different if this would be a prayer that we pray, I don't know, maybe from now till Easter? This is a challenge. Once a day, go back and look every day. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Pray it over and over and over again. What would happen to the church? What would happen to us as part of the church? My guess is that our lives would be transformed in amazing ways that we don't see, we don't expect. That God just moves in an amazing way. So that's our challenge. It's to make it a part of our lives every day. To pray this prayer over and over and over again. Pray for each other. Pray for the church. Pray for all of God's people, the body of Christ. Pray that God would do something amazing as we, in obedience, pray to Him. Now, I want us to pray that prayer. I tried to personalize it a little bit. So, let's see if we can. Yeah, okay. So, I want us to pray this prayer together. This is the same prayer, personalized just a little bit. So, it's got I and me in it. Okay? So, when you pray it, it's really you praying it. And you can do this. It's okay. God doesn't get mad at us to do that. It's all right. So, when you pray it from now till Easter Sunday, pray it personally. Pray for you, as I'm going to pray for me. Pray for us. Pray a second time. Pray just like it's written. All right? Let's pray this together. Oh, Father God, when I think of the wisdom and scope of your plan, I fall to my knees to pray to you, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from your glorious, unlimited resources. You will give me mighty inner strength through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in my heart as I trust him. May my roots go down deep into the soil of your marvelous love And may I have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May I experience the love of Christ, though it's so great, I will never fully understand it. Then I'll be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now glory be to God by His mighty power at work within me. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than I would ever dare to ask or hope. May He be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. What a powerful prayer. May we make that our prayer, church, today and tomorrow and the days that are out in front of us. We're going to come to the Lord's table here in just a moment to share in Holy Communion. So I want to just invite you to pause for a moment and just bow your heads and pray. And I'm going to pray a prayer of preparation to move us into that time.